We all garden to de-stress and relax, but sometimes in the summer, it's hard to relax during the day because you're overwhelmed with so many garden chores. So what if the most relaxing time for you in your garden isn't during the day, but it's after dark in those cool summer nights when garden chores aren't practical because you can't see very well? We have a unique opportunity to ease burnout, support mental health, and deepen your connection to plants and nature. So today, I'm joined by a friend of the pod, Perla Sofia Curbelo Santiago. She's been on the show before. She's the author of Verdura, the book, to talk about her new take on garden breaks after dark. And we discuss how to create simple, mindful rituals that help plant parents unwind, reset, and find joy in the garden in the evening in even just 10 minutes. Welcome.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Welcome back to the show, my friend. I am so happy that I got to see you in person last week in Seattle at Northwest Flower and Garden Show. And now that I get to selfishly have you on the show so I can share you with the whole audience.
I'm excited about this conversation. And yes, I was so glad to see you and have spent quality time in our lift. And of course, during the event, we were just talking about how we wanted to be in each other's presentation, but the show was so big and so many things that we as content creators, sometimes we are not able to,
I know,
to show up for each other's as the way we dream of. But yeah, that's coming, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I feel like you might win the award for farthest travel, and I might win runner-up, the second place award, because we both ended up being on our Atlanta connection flight.
Yes.
And that was our second flight of the day, trying to get to Seattle. But you've been on the show before. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago to celebrate?
2 years ago in 2024, and I came for the audience that is wondering where she came from. And I was coming from Puerto Rico, so I had to make the stop in Atlanta and then fly to Seattle, which I was wondering why in the world Maria was in this flight, because she's from Florida. So I was like curious about that. So you can tell me now or later.
No, it was just, I fly in a small airport in Florida, so there aren't a lot of direct flights to Seattle. So I had to fly through Atlanta because I flew Delta. But enough about me. What have you been up to? It's been 2 years since you've been on the show. We have new listeners since you've been there. And then old listeners who might remember you want to know what's been going on. So tell us a little bit about Perla and what you do and where you garden.
Yes, well, Perla Sofia Curbelo Santiago, I use my whole name, and I'm an author. I published in 2024 my first gardening book, Verdura, Living a Garden Life, but it's also in Spanish, Jardinería para tu Bienestar. So since 2024, I've been, talking about my books, doing more presentation related to the book content, but also I've been working in creating content for agrochic.com, which is my platform, which I write in Spanish. Puerto Rico is a 13B zone. Well, at least in the area that I am, I live in by the coast of Puerto Rico in the northeast part of the island. So it is quite hot sometimes, most of the time. And of course, I've been promoting and advocating for people to take more breaks, especially garden breaks. So this is like a a synthesis of all the things that, as you know, that we as content creator, business people do to keep up in the green industry.
And you do have a very cool and unique job where you talk to a lot of companies like on corporate wellness and how to incorporate gardens and plants. So what does that look like for you?
Well, this is something that I've been working for so many years. As I was doing journalism for a long time. So I had AgroChic like a side business before I decided to go 100% with that. But I was doing some reporting for a big media outlet here in Puerto Rico. We used to do this project that we go and talk to HR leaders, employees about what was good about their companies. And of course, people, this was 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. And people always, employees were listing the things that they wanted their employers to do for them. And, or they were like, oh, we're so happy we have this area, things like that. So while I was in there looking into the spaces, I always was wondering why are these companies are not incorporating more biophilic things, design or plants in their spaces, knowing that we know what we know about the positive effects of nature and be surrounded by plants, things like that. So I was like, someday I'm going to bring something for companies so they can also think about horticulture, think about plants in another way more than decoration. And this is what Garden Break is. It is turning that into a well-being project that I get to go to companies. And I'm very blessed that I have a few companies that have been very excited about it and talk about the importance to have breaks, not the weekend, not the vacation, breaks, micro breaks that help you mitigate the daily stresses that you deal with within the companies, but also that you can bring to your home and vice versa. And how to use nature, whether it is one plant or the company's gardens, as a wellness tool to help you go through the day and be better, not just personally, but professionally, because of course, when a company is investing in you to bring in this kind of content, they also want to see that it has an effect in the well-being, but also in the productivity of their employees. So I'm excited about this because every time you talk about people, about plants, they immediately go to that space that they are saying, oh, I have this plant at home. And sometimes I have bring some from home to my work area, things like that. So yeah, it's been amazing. I just saw a bird flying over there.
My birds are like losing their minds right now. I don't know. I'm trying to mute myself, but we're going to have the biophilic experience of bird song and parakeet chatter in our background.
Let it. Yes.
They are excited. Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense to me to focus on offices because people spend a third of their life in their office, you know, if you're going to an office every day. And yet that is often where people are the most disconnected from nature because offices are such sterile environments. Why is this so important to you? Why is this theory of garden breaks so important?
Well, I think I used to be so available and always wanted to, and I always say yes to everything that it doesn't matter the time of the day. I'm here, you know, I'm always on. And that was the younger me, you know, that if you show up and you're always available, definitely people are going to be thinking about you more. And that went the opposite direction for me because I was almost in a burnout mode. And that for me also, I had this feeling of guilt that, oh, if I take breaks, or I don't want people to, especially my family members, I didn't want them to call me and like, should I, may I sound like I was taking a nap or something? But I remember sometimes my father were asking me, did you have you were sleeping? And I was like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't asleep. And I think that mentality that always be available and no show up, that you are, you know, that you're human and you are allowed to slow down and have naps in the middle of the day, especially if you work for yourself. So you are not necessarily compelled to one itinerary, a specific itinerary, like a lot of employees. But basically, when I was working on the book Verdura, which is about doing gardening projects at home or outdoors, but that help are aligned with a well-being objective. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, you need to break more. You need to be more conscious about how do you take your own advice before this book hits the shelves. Because I noticed when actually I remember one photo that the photographer shared with me, and I saw myself and I was like, oh my God, I was smiling, but my eyes can say, oh, this girl is super tired. And of course, you have gone through the reading process of a book and you know how it is. And I was like, yeah, this has to change. And of course, that was a wake up call. That doesn't mean that I have it all managed, but I know better now the importance that it is to stop and regroup and then, you know, refocus and continue. And I'm better now in managing my stresses, my stress in my life, whatever it is, you know, I'm better in, okay, this is a stressful situation. What can I do about it and regroup? And nature helps you. At least my backyard helps me, you know, to refocus and see the bigger picture and then start like, okay, go one thing at a time. And that's exactly what I'm trying to help people when I'm doing the corporate workshops, because I do the corporate part, but I also work with general public through companies, partnerships. And of course, I always try to encourage people to make the most out of their spaces if they have it. Because also I'm aware that not everybody has a garden space like the one that I have. Maybe they have a balcony, or maybe they just have a window and the only access that they may have is a nearby park or a botanical garden.
Yeah, I so relate to your photo with the eyes talk. Sometimes I catch myself, like the first chapter of my book is look at a plant before you look at a screen. And it's all, my book is all about screen addiction and how to use plants to break screen addiction. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I will both go through seasons where we catch each other being like, didn't look at a plant before I looked at a screen in the morning. And that I think is actually very important for people to know that the both of us still struggle with, you know, practicing what we preach, because sadly, like, we are set up for failure as a society, as humans, because you are told to not take your lunch break at work, and you are told, and we are conditioned to be addicted to these apps and screens. And, you know, it's very easy to not take this advice. And you really do have to prioritize it. And that's why having like structures and frameworks and routines around it is so important. Now, I'm so curious, because lately you've been talking about taking these garden breaks at night. So we're shifting out of the workplace, you know, where these garden breaks are very important, but we're shifting into the night. Have you had and I think this is such an underrated, overlooked time for gardeners, because once again, even as gardeners, we think about, well, if the sun's out, I can be working, I can be weeding, I could be planting, I could be succession planting, I could be doing all these things. Like, very rarely are we just sitting in our garden and enjoying it during the day. And at night, it's a little easier to do. So did you have a specific experience in your own garden that kind of triggered this new idea that you've been talking about more? See, I've been really intentional about what I'm putting in my body, particularly when it comes to sugars and dyes and all the weird stuff that we find in packaged food. And I am so thankful that I have had Manucora Manuka Honey in my back pocket for years now as my go-to sweetener for coffees, yogurts, and sometimes just as a little snack on a spoon. You've heard me talk about Manucora Honey on this podcast because I use it in my coffee to make my brown sugar shaken espresso dupe. It is this rich, creamy, caramel tasting honey. It's unlike any honey you've ever tasted. Even just by looking at it, you know it's like so much better than your you know, grocery store honey bear. But it's not only delicious, it's ethically produced by Manucora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand, and it has bioactives in it that have three times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. And these help support your cells and gut. And all you need is one heaping teaspoon each morning to get the most out of those bioactives. So if you've been hearing these ads for a while, because you know I've been loving Manucora for years, and you've been curious, now is a great time to try it. Head to manucora.com/bloom to save up to 31% on your first purchase. Plus, you get $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850 plus Manuka honey jar. I've gone through so many of those. 5 honey travel sticks, which are amazing for vacations. A wooden spoon and a guidebook. So check it out at Manucora, manukora.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts.
Well, I think it comes, I always like to be outside no matter the time of the day. I'm a very spiritual person. So when I look at the sky, especially at night, I use that time to, you know, to reflect, to pray, things like that. And of course, when I was working on the book, I did this project called The Night Sky Garden, where I, you know, painted a pot and tried to replicate the aurora borealis, something that we don't see. It's not usual here in Puerto Rico because of how close we are at the equator line, but it is something that when you get the chance to be in complete darkness, and after Hurricane Maria, that was a reality, you know, that you wake up very early, but at 6 p.m., because we didn't have power for a few weeks and other parts of the island were out of light for a month. You needed to focus on something. And I decided, I live in a very urban area, so light pollution, it is something very, so I watched the stars, the sky, the night sky, and I was appreciated. And I decided to focus on that instead of, you know, we don't have power, all the bad things. And of course, when the book, when I was working on the book, as I was telling you, I got the chance to research a little bit more. And because we, focus on the day, and we are trying to bring in pollinators to our gardens, make them beautiful. But at the same time, at night, our behavior, the way we use lighting in our home, inside and outside, is not good for pollinators that also need their breaks. So the very same creatures that we are trying to allure to our garden during the day, sometimes we work against them, their wellness. So that's why I was very interested to then start talking about, hey, we are so visually overwhelmed during the day. Every time we see something, we don't necessarily stop and use the garden to relax. When we think we're relaxing, we start making lists of, I need to do this, I need to do that. Because you are watching things, you are seeing things, but at night, it's more difficult unless you have, you know, the spotlight in certain areas. But at night, you are depending more on the sounds, on the texture. So you are not that visually overwhelmed. So you are more able to relax. But as you were saying, people think about, you know, the sun goes down. Okay, I'm going inside. But the space at night also help people who work during the day and maybe they're not able to garden or go to the garden in the middle of the day. So the only time that they have available is maybe after six. So when they come from work or and they need to do certain transitions before going into 100% home mood and start prepping the dinners, things like that. So this is why I was interested also to talk to people and to share with people, hey, you can use your garden in several hours of the day and make the most of it out of it if you have it. Because again, not so many people are blessed with a garden space.
Yeah. And now there are moon gardens and there are, you know, plants that bloom at night that are fragrant that, you know,
yes,
fill the space. So it is a very interesting focus. Talk to me more about, because I've never thought about that before. So the light pollution from our homes could be affecting the pollinators, yes, that we're trying to attract to our gardens during the day.
Yes, there's a lot of articles and research done about how the glare of the lights that we, for safety reasons, we let on, they are disturbing pollinators that need the rest. Or they, for example, birds that are migrating may be confused because they see so much light in their way to their nest post. So things like that can affect the own cycles of creatures that come to our places to mate, to have food, things like that. So our behavior, and again, we are not saying, and I'm not saying that you need to be in complete darkness and you can have any kind of lighting outdoors, because there's the safety reasons and safety preoccupation that people have that, yeah, you can address that in a very responsible way. Maybe you can use your blind, if you're using a porch at home and you need to light up the space, maybe you can use down your curtains. So the lighting from inside your home, it doesn't go immediately, you know, or distress what is outside. Or you can, if you're going to use your space, maybe to do an activity that relaxes you because you decided to take your garden break. Well, maybe you can, instead of illuminating the whole room, you can use directed lighting. So you are like working. It's like the little lamps that you use in your desk that is focusing on what you have in front of you. That's it. And the rest of the room is in dark, in complete darkness. You can do that in your outdoor spaces, whether it is a terrace or a pergola that you like to be after 6 o'clock or after, you know, when you are in darkness. So you can do things like that. You can be more conscious about the way you move, you know, because sudden movement alter also those creatures that are at sleep, that are using the garden to have their beauty sleep, as we would love to. That it is fascinating also that if you want to have a stroll through your garden, you can make that shorter periods, like 10, 20 minutes. And because you're conscious that you're not the only one who's using the garden, and you can use a little flashlight. And it's very interesting because it gives you also, you can see certain creatures that, you know, under the trees or the plants, and you just look at that and then you move on. But you bring that with you and it's fantastic. You just need to be aware of that and start learning a little bit more about ways to you can use better the lighting. And of course, in your neighborhood, things like that, you can also share with your neighbors how to do it in a responsible way if you can control certain areas. If you don't, because maybe there's a public lighting post that mm-hmm. you can't do nothing about it. So you can do things that may help the garden to be in a more darkest stage. Yeah. Few things like that.
So what is the structure of a garden break after dark look like if I wanted to try it? Like, how would you suggest I go about having a garden break after dark?
First of all, you have to know what is your garden look like during the day. Because after dark, if you are in, for example, complete darkness, or you have limited amount of lighting, there are going to be safety things that you have to, safety guidelines that you want to follow. So it's very important that you know what do you have in your garden and use the day for that. So walk your garden, know where are you stepping, because most of the time we're going to be using the same path that we use during the day. We're going to use the same path during the night. If you have certain areas that you want to visit in your garden after dark, maybe because the lighting is more dim there, you just make sure that it's safety to go from point A to point B. So you are not stepping into other plants. You're not stepping and fall down, things like that. You can use solar lighting and okay. Of course, yes, and that will definitely will help you draw that path, and of course make it a short one, 20 minutes to be in your garden. And if you want to, if you have a spot that maybe you want to read, have, you know, be cozy there, and you are planning to be like 30 or an hour there, well, try to use of focal lighting for that you are going to be doing. And another thing is that you have to be aware of what are the dangers of your garden, because I know, for example, in Florida, yeah, people have certain encounters with the wildlife, and it's not the wildlife that we have here in Puerto Rico. So I have seen videos of people that are enjoying their garden after dark, and suddenly a wildcat comes up, yep, or something,
or an alligator.
Exactly. Yeah, at least in my garden, the biggest thing could be like a iguana de palo, like this iguana, but there's not that many right now. But you have to be aware of those things. So use the day to plan your after dark breaks, and start by 5 minutes, 15 minutes. And the more you use them, the more you feel comfortable, because that's another thing. If you feel safe, if you feel comfortable, you're going to want to repeat the experience. So you're going to see yourself investing more. Maybe you're going to invest more in the seating area or the fencing or a better lighting system that helps you feel safe. But at the same time, you are keeping the wildlife safe and make sure that it doesn't disturb them. So yeah, start doing that.
You're saying 5, 10, 15 minutes. What are some options to do? I think all of the disclaimers are important. Don't trip. Be careful of wildlife. Like, do all these things. Mm-hmm. You mentioned reading. Like, what are some things that I could do in my garden breaks in the evening?
Well, first, it's very important to have this clarification. A garden break, as we define it, is an intentional pause that you take in contact with nature. So this is something that you can do outside or indoors, depending where you live. And one of the most important things is that when you see yourself with 5 or 15 minutes that are for you, you have to know what to do. And the activities should be things that you really enjoy. And when you're doing them, you feel relaxed, because helps your brain to take the direct attention that you've been using the whole day, and it's taxed because you've been using it the whole day. The activity that you're doing should be something that is, it doesn't touch you more. It gives at least your primary attention a break to recoup, to boost, and then return to whatever was hold on. So things, if you feel like reading helps you relax, definitely. And if it's maybe something, a craft activity or painting, researchers and recommend not to use social media, because in social media,
leave your phone inside.
Yes. Or if you're going to use it, be wise. Maybe you are going to catch up with a podcast. For example, you want to listen to a podcast without any interruption. But there are things that you, when you do them, whether it is for 5 or 10 minutes, you feel boost, you feel good, and you feel energized to then continue with the rest of the things that you were meant to do, but you needed the break so you can refocus. You needed that break. So make a list of the things that you really like. And sometimes people say, oh, I have these hobbies, but I don't have the time. Well, maybe a garden break is a nice time to start going through your hobbies and things that can fit to that time frame. And of course, to the space that you're using, because not all the activities that makes you relax or help you be relaxed can be done in the space or in the time frame that maybe you are looking forward. Maybe you want to paint and 15 minutes won't be enough to start and finish. So you want to do something, or at least have that activity, have a breakdown of that activity. So what you started and finished, you feel good and not be like, oh, I didn't have enough time to finish this. So These are few of the things that I could recommend you to think about it, because that's one of the pillars of the garden break. Besides protecting your break, you know, deciding a scheduling, knowing that when would you need those breaks in your day, the activities, the space, and of course, how long do you want them? You know, your 5, 15, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I could think about like coloring books or, you know, something too that I think gets overlooked is like just sitting and listening, you know, at night. Like, especially at dusk, like there's so much bird song, but also like at night when we lived in the Catskills, the owls would hoot at each other all night long. So sometimes creating that space to really not do anything and just like sit and listen and be with your thoughts is scary for people and it's anxiety inducing. Mm-hmm. But if you can focus on, okay, I'm just going to listen or I'm just going to watch. And then I'm also thinking about our friends in the Northeast right now that are, you know, really going through it with blizzards. But your garden break at night could be like sitting at your window with no screen and looking at the snowfall, right? Like it could be, if you're in a climate that's cold, you could still benefit from looking out of your window or something like that, right?
Yes, definitely. You know, it is a break. At the end of the day, it is a break that it is essential for you. And sometimes you won't be able to go outside because of weather situation. Maybe you can then use that moment to be with your houseplants and be with them, being in the present of them. And then you can use a journal to journal about your day and go through that or read a prayer, something that makes you feel good and calm. And then you can pay attention to the rest of the people that maybe depend on you. But if you don't show for yourself, if you don't take those minutes and understand that your breaks are essential, it's not a luxury. They are essential for your well-being and for the people who is around you, then it's not going to work no matter where you are, no matter how long you are. Because if you're going to go into a break for 5 or 15 minutes and half of it, you're going to be feeling guilty that you should be doing other things maybe to get ahead or something like that, that's not gonna be helpful for your mental well-being. And that's something that especially us women have to work with. Mm-hmm. Women caregivers, we're always thinking, I should be doing this instead of stopping and just watching through the window, you know, doing nothing. And no, it is a well-being investment that you have to go and do. And this is why any kind of breaks, because of course we're talking about garden breaks because the audience are plant lovers. And for a break, for an activity and a space to work for your relaxation, you have to enjoy them. There's a lot of people out there who do not feel good outdoors, feel stressed. And of course, it is the opposite for us because we enjoy being outdoors, things like that. But there's a lot of people that may be taking a break, doing other things in another kind of space will help them relax. Because the idea also is that the space makes you feel comfortable, safe, so you are not looking after your back, like, oh, something might happen, because you know you're gonna be keeping your cortisol hormones up. Like, yeah, be aware, you know, this is not safe, and you're never gonna stress down. You're gonna be managing, you know, any kind of things that makes you feel uncomfortable. So yeah.
Do you have a personal story or maybe a story of a client that's inspiring and surprising about something that happened in a garden break after dark?
Well, interesting. The other day I was talking about, I was talking to one of my clients, and she's a person who she's by herself. And one of the things that she was telling me is that she started to use her garden after she arrived from work. And because she works for this company, and her itinerary is like very early in the morning. And when she arrived at home is after 5 o'clock, and depending on the day. And she started to use it, her space, as a transition for the rest of the day, to start prepping her food, or maybe it helped her to not feeling that alone because she could focus on the soundscapes in her garden. And that for so many people, it is difficult because during the day, probably they're listening to construction work they're listening to trimmers, to blowers, things like that. And during the night, the soundscape, the listening to the wildlife, things like that. So this client, she was telling me that she never thought about using the garden as a transition from work to the homework. I think this is why I decided to start talking a little more about garden breaks after dark. So people are just taking their break, taking their micropauses, because these are micropauses. You know, anything that is under an hour is definitely a micropause. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me about that experience. And of course, she told me so many things about her personal life. I'm not going to talk about it. But I was like, yeah, this is it. This is why I do what I do. And because you never know what are the situation, personal situations. And even when you are sharing strategies to do at work, that person was able to bring that at home and use it for her mental health, because she felt less alone. And she wanted to, you know, she starts thinking about other ways to use the garden. And she thought about buying a chair to put in the garden and how she's using it. So she sits down and see the dog, because most of the time the dog was the only person, the only being using the garden. Now she can sit down, watch the dog, use the garden. And while she's looking at the dog, she is like, you know, forgetting about her own pain, the things that, you know, goes to your mind. Yeah, that thanks for asking, because yeah, it's like beautiful.
It's double biophilia. You're getting your pet and you're getting your garden.
Exactly. And by the way, that's doing gardens for your pets and you to enjoy at the same time. It's a trend that we are seeing a lot in this year, and more people are designing along with their pets in mind.
100%. It makes so much sense to me. You are such a delight, my friend. I love this concept. I just bought a house. We have a backyard. We have a lanai. And I'm really looking forward to... It's a disaster, too. Like, the landscape is a disaster. It's going to be a complete overhaul. But it's interesting because even as when we bought the house and I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to do with the backyard? What do I want? Whatever. I never really considered the evening. So I'm excited to, like, consider the evening time as part of the design process and understand,
yes,
okay, how can I make this really inviting after dark in a way that, you know, supports all of the local wildlife as well. So I think you've given all of us a lot to think about. Where can everyone find you? Because you have books, you have a blog, you have all sorts of stuff. So where can everyone find you and follow you?
First of all, thank you, Maria, for having me on your podcast and talk about this topic that I really love. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can find me in agrochic.com. Mm-hmm. I write in Spanish, but nowadays you can translate that to any language you want. And on social media and on Instagram, Facebook, as agrochic too. If you can find me, it's because I don't want to.
Yes, it's easy. Well, and we'll make sure all the links will be in the show notes. So you're the best, my friend. And let's not wait 2 more years to have you back on the show.
Definitely. We want. I want to go to one of those garden breaks. Actually, garden parties that you're going to have in your new home.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's growing. That home is growing. So I'm very happy for you and your husband. So congrats on the new baby that's coming on.
Growing joy, growing plants.
Growing literally joy. Oh my gosh.
Yes, exactly. Growing everything this year. All right. Well, love you, friend. Thank you.
Gracias.
Joy. All right, plant friends, I hope this episode inspired you to rethink your evenings. Before you kick back in front of the TV at night this summer, maybe you can go make a new ritual in your garden to unwind and enjoy the bird song and the evening, the beautiful summer nights in your garden. All of Petla's information is in the show notes. And if you liked this episode, maybe send it to a friend who's a gardener who could also benefit from a garden break after dark. As per usual, I hope this helps you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.